Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I think every week we thank everyone for coming for different reasons. Last week we thanked everyone for coming because we were having tropical storms. This week, emails didn't go out as normal, but still, Baruch Hashem, everybody came. So appreciate that. Baruch Hashem, we hope to continue the share both next week and the week after, before we go on the summer hiatus vacation. I have to give an introduction to this week's topic. I'm giving a share about Mon. Why am I giving a share about Mon? Well, last week we gave a share about Quicken Loans and mortgages from Jewish mortgage companies with Ribbis. And the response to that share was unlike any other. I spent through Thursday dealing with questions from people here, people who listened to the share all over, that were quite enthralled, interested, and quite nogea bedover with interest and had loans from Quicken Loans, very interesting stories. So I spent a lot of time and definitely struck a chord with many people that had loans with Quicken Loans. So this week I decided to talk about a topic that hopefully no one has any halachic, direct, practical issues with. If you do have a problem with Mon, maybe you should see me after share. But, yeah, some people like Mon, prune, right? But I'm entitling it the Mon Bistro, Understanding Mon and Halacha. And I think I do remember, actually in New York somewhere, there is a cafe called the Mon Cafe. I guess people think of Mon maybe as some delicacies we have, some Danish, that's what Mon is. But really, from this week's Parsha, it's a Rashi in this week's Parsha, really Mon could have been a bistro. You could have Mon steak. You could have Mon spare ribs. There are many things you could have with Mon. That's because the Pasuk in this week's Parsha talks about Mon as Kizarah God, this small seed. And then it talks about Shatu Ha'am V'laktu V'tachnum B'rechayim. People would stroll down the street, would collect the Mon, V'tachnum B'rechayim. They would grind it in the mill. Odachim Menducha, pounded with a mortar. Odishlu, parer, and they'll cook it in a pot. But also, so ugos, they make it into cakes. Vaitama katama shana shaman, they'll have some like taste of dough with oil. So it sounds like there's so many different ways to make mon. Right? There's a recipe for everything. But Rashi says over here, second Rashi, V'tachnu b'rechayim. No, you didn't cook mon in any of these ways. But its taste would change into these things. Which the Mefarshim explain that mon had this amazing ability. Whatever you wanted it to be, whatever you thought it to be, that's what it tastes like. You have this food. Obviously, mon was supernatural. It fell min hashmayim. So you have this food that was falling min hashmayim. Whatever you thought it should taste like, that's what it tasted like. Amazing capacity of this food. If you wanted it to taste grilled, you had the most delicious grilled steak that you ever had. You wanted it fried, you have it fried. You're into health foods, it tasted healthy. Tasted bad. Whatever it was, whatever taste you wanted, that's what the mon tasted like. And we'll go through the Gemara. The Gemara elaborates on this idea. So once that's so, if the mon was a supernatural food, which whatever I thought of it, that's what it tasted like. So really, in halacha, there comes up a few shilas. In fact, I have four of them. First shaila is, we know there are many foods in halacha that we are required to eat. On Pesach, we have to eat matzah. We have to bring a carbon Pesach. There's a carbon omer, kamishter lechem, many different carbonos. Foods were required to eat. Let's say I had in mind for the mon to be matzah. That'll be a cheaper way of going about it. Imagine enough to pay for matzah. You get your mon, you have in mind for matzah. You can have in mind with all your hadurim too, right? So does that work? Would one be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with mon? This isn't some question which I dreamed up. I actually found the Rishonim talk about this.
Matzah is not legabi the taste. It's legabi the halacha. It's how it has to be made. So is your machshava also in terms of the exact halachas?
We'll talk about that. Excellent point. Right? There are halachas which go into matzah, but could those halachas be fulfilled by my thinking of it?
Does it have to be shmur?
Right? Shmur man. I was watched from the moment it fell from the sky. Right?
There's no way you could use it.
Right.
It's free. How could that be?
I see. A second question, which many people deal with. Once I have this mon, which I can manipulate in my mind to be and taste like whatever I want it to taste like, could I have evil thoughts? Could I have mon taste like pig? Could I have mon taste like treif? I was always wanted that cheeseburger. The Jews in the Midbar dreaming about cheeseburgers.
They didn't know what a cheeseburger was.
What do you mean? That you don't think in Egypt they had the Golden Arch? Right, that's where it came from, was on top of two pyramids. So can you think of a treif food, would mon work and provide you with a treif food? That's another question I found debated. A third question, and this I was discussing before the share with somebody, and we're like, yeah, we all know the jokes about it. What bracha rishona does one make on mon? They're eating food. What bracha do they make? What are the brachas when you make a bracha rishona on mon? And finally, the fourth question I'd like to deal with is, what bracha achrona do you make on mon? And that particular question has a lot of halakhic relevance. So these are four halakhic issues I'd like to talk about. Mon. Really, there are more. When I started researching this, there are multiple halakhas that are learned out from mon. People talked about the idea of lachem mishnah is learned from mon. The idea of a covering of on your challah, on top and on bottom, is learned from the mon. There are certain halakhas of tchumim, which are derived from the mon. There are multiple halachas which the Gemara talks about, and they derive from the dinim of mon. So the mon wasn't just a supernatural food that the Jews experienced after they left Mitzrayim, but there are actual halachic derivatives that we have of it. Really, the first place I'd like to touch upon is the Gemara in Yuma. Really, that's where the sugya of mon is. It's quite a bit of Gemara. It's Ayin Hei Amad Aleph through Ayin Hei on the base. I want to bring out 3 points, but really there are many in this Gemara. It's quite fascinating. The Gemara talks about the mon fell actually with precious jewels. Right? You bring your wife some mon together with a nice diamond. Like, amazing things are going on with this mon. They use it to define how many people were in a family. You got exactly the amount. Any shailos about who the child belongs to, or paskin by mon. So the first thing I'd like to show you is Ayin Heima Beis, the second Gemara. Let's start from there. The Gemara darshins like every word the Torah writes about mon. A lot of these descriptions. One of the descriptions is dak mechupas. So Omri Shlokesh Dovashi Nimuach Al Pisos Hayad, it was something that melted. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Dovashi Nivra B'Mosayim Arba Mishmona Ivarim. Mon was something which was enveloped within a person's 248 Ivarim. Unlike any other food, the mon was something which the sustenance of the mon was totally taken up by every part of a person's body. It was perfect. The Gemara says a few lines later, Tana Rabbanan, Lechem Abirim Achal Ish. Lechem Shemalchi Asharis Ochel Nosol, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Mon was food which the angels ate, which the malachim eat. It was a supernatural food. Shenemu Dvar Mefnei Rabbi Shmal Amar Lam, Tzuva V'u, Tzuva Amar Loli Akiva, Akiva, Toz, Ta'isa, V'chimalchi Asharis Ochel Lechem? Hey, do malachim eat food? Alok kvar nemar, lechem lochal timayim shoshtisi. Moshe Rabbeinu said when he was a shemayim, he didn't eat bread, because malachim don't eat. Elamani mikayim evarim, lechem shenivar mamasayim varabah v'shmon of evarim. So, Rabbi Shmuel argues on Rabbi Akiva, he says, this is not what malachim eat, malachim don't eat, but rather the same idea that it was enveloped in the 248 Evarim. So it sounds like from here, interesting capacity of mon. Mon was something which the body totally accepted. Unlike other food, which we know there are byproducts, it's excrement. But by mon, there was no byproduct. It was perfect. It totally got enveloped in a person's body. Rabbi Akiva says it even is somehow the supernatural food that malachim would eat. So that's one thing you see in the Gemara. It's going to come up important later and share. A second aspect, if you look at the Gemara earlier, in Hayom and Aleph, the Pasuk quotes that it had Esakishuim, Vesavtichim, this actually comes up in this week's Parsha, that the Bnei Yisrael complaining about the fact that in Mitzrayim we had cucumbers, we had melons. Pasuk continues, they also said they had leeks, they had onions, they had garlic. And, hey, the mon doesn't taste like this. They're complaining about that. So Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yasi, Chad Omar, Tom ko aminim tamu b'mon. However, tam chamishas aminim alo lo tamu b'mon. The mon tasted like anything. Whatever you wanted the mon to taste like, it tasted like. Except for these five minim. Why not? So Rashi there says on the side, Shem kashin uberetz uminikos. Because these foods are bad for pregnant and nursing women. Kadamrinim b'sifri, Mashal amru l'isha, we tell a woman, lo tochlu b'atzel m'mnei atina. Don't eat garlic, because it's going to hurt children. And we know nowadays also, right, there always are warnings for pregnant, nursing, you shouldn't eat certain foods. So this Gemara is telling us, the mun tasted like anything, except the food which potentially would be dangerous for a woman. So there are limitations. The mon tasted like everything you wanted, except for food which would be mazik you, that you couldn't have. Another interesting Gemara. Yes?
So if the mon was such a great miracle, why couldn't have a blocker for pregnant women to not think of that?
Interesting. Right? That's a good question. You know, the mon was so supernatural, so, hey, Hashem could do anything. So why don't we make it as a blocker for these other things? Right? It sounds like the mon, you know, still worked within certain realms of nature, being the fact that these foods were naturally bad for women. So you could have a mon like that. Right? It might be actually very good. That's a very good point. Mon would be the perfect food for a woman with a craving. It could taste like pickles and ice cream. Very good point. Right? And finally, one third step I'd like to show you in this Gemara. So the first opinion says mon tastes like anything. The chadom are tam ko aminim tamo tamon umamoshin. Valo tamon velo mamoshin. Very interesting. He would say, really, it even tastes like these five foods. The difference would be, though, it wouldn't have the texture of those foods. The man had an ability, not just having the taste, according to this man, Amar, of any food you'd like, but also the texture. Right? There's something enjoyable when you eat a steak. You know what a steak should feel like when you eat it. So it didn't just taste like a steak. It had the texture of a steak. It fully, you're eating a nice fluffy muffin. It felt that way. According to this man, Amar, Machlokas. According to the first man, Amar, man was just had the taste of any food. But according to this second man, Amar, not only did man have the taste, but it also had the texture of any food. Now that's interesting, though. I heard actually on Shabbos, someone was talking about this idea, and they brought up a Medrash Pliya, one of these Medrashim, which are quite hard to understand. The Medrash says, we learn out from Mun that a person is supposed to light Shabbos candles. Really? The fact that there's Mun is supposed to light Shabbos candles? I saw multiple Mepharshim. There are similar Lashonos. It's not just a Medrash Pliya. There are other Medrashim I found after I heard it. And it says, because there was one quote-unquote deficiency with the mun. It might have tasted like anything they wanted. And according to one man, the Amar and the Gemara here in Yuma, it might have, the texture was, might also have been like any food they ever ate. But it didn't look like that. It might have tasted, it might have had texture, but still what it looked like, no, it looked like this little seed. So that was something which troubled some people. I want to see my food. Try eating in the dark. It's not the same experience. So that's why they're misakin. You should light Shabbos candles. Because part of the enjoyment on Shabbos isn't just the wonderful meal that you have, but it's seeing it. It's savoring it. You savor something with taste, with texture, but also by seeing it. Very interesting. I didn't hear that. So, with these three points of the Gemara, I'd like to go into each of these three, each of these four shilohs that we had. The first shiloh, we said, could we use mun to be yotze, let's say, the mitzvah of matzah? So if you look in the back of your sheets, there's a Ritva in Kedushin that talks about this. The Ritva in Kedushin writes, Daf Lamed Ches, She'ein yotzin dechovas achilas matzah ba'achilas man. One is not yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah with man. You can't have in mind man for your $50 shmur matzah. Why not? Hey, you need certain grains for mun, for example, for matzah. Mun isn't that grain. Doesn't work. Similarly, they bring Rabbeinu Gershom in Menachos, another Rishon, talks about the fact that Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar didn't bring a Korban Omer or a Korban Shnei Alechem. Why not? If mun, you could have in mind any food, okay, so have in mind this should be for the Korban Omer, this should be for the Korban Shtei Alechem. Answer is, mun is not a grain. For these mitzvos, you need actual grain, right? You can't make matzah out of anything, there are grains. So that's why we have spelt matzahs, we have this matzahs. Can't have just anything. So mun might have the taste, but it's not these grains. And if it's not the grains, then you're not yotze. That's what the Ritva writes, and that's seemingly what Rabbeinu Gershom also writes.
How do you know it doesn't have grain? Just because it's supernatural doesn't mean it can't have grain.
Well,
it is not a grain.
Is it that grain? Is it? What is it?
Grain. But how do you know it's not?
Because it doesn't grow from the ground. That's why.
What's a grain? What's a grain? What would you say?
Whatever a grain is, and you know that it's not.
I told you it doesn't grow.
So the simple answer, right, I actually like your train of thought. We'll see that in a moment. It might be addressed like that. But the simple, seemingly an explanation of this Adva, or this Rabbeinu Gershon, is similar to the idea we started with, is this whole idea of Mun took into account there are natural laws of nature. Just like we said, Mun can't override the fact that there are certain foods which are dangerous to women. So that's a law of nature. Mun was working with that. Okay, you know, Mun's not going to be, you know, if garlic is dangerous for a woman, so Mun can't override that. So too, if, look, in nature we have grains, and we know what grains are. Right, there are five grains grow from the ground. That's what the requirement of matzah is. So once that's so, pashtus is mun isn't that. And that's why the Ritva, that's why Rabbeinu Gershom said, you would not be yotzi the din of matzah, you would not be yotzi the din of omer and shtei alechem with mun. Because it's not that. That's the pashup shot. Sounds very reasonable. But there's a gilyone hashas, which is an achron on brachos, which has an amazing observation. Let's read a gemara in brachos. You go back to the first side of your sheets. This is a gemara in brachos, and daf mem ches amadeus. The gemara says like this: Amar of Nachman, Moshe tikkun liYisrael birchas hazon. Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking the first bracha in benching. When was Moshe misaking this bracha? When the mon came down. Yeshua tikkun lahem berachos haaretz. Yeshua was misaking the second bracha of brachos haaretz. When? He was shenichnu laaretz, when they went into Eretz Yisrael. David and Shlomo tikkunu bonei Yerushalayim. David and Shlomo, they're the ones who misaking the bracha of bonei Yerushalayim. And David tikkun al Yisrael amecha, al Yishlaim yirecha, v'shabat tikkun al bayis agadol v'akadosh. Fascinating. They each had their own imprint of what they saw in Jewish history to add that to the bracha, the third bracha of benching. And the fourth bracha, v'atova meitev b'yavne tikkunu, k'neged harugei beitar. Damar of masna, osar hayom shenitna harugei beitar l'kfura, the day that they buried people who killed in Beitar to Kfura, Tiknu b'yavne hatov v'ametiv, hatov sh'resrichu v'ametiv sh'nitnu l'kfura. Tov, that their bodies didn't decay, and metiv, that they were given to Kfura. Beautiful Gemara. Fascinating. Each of these brachos of benching was misakin at a different point in Jewish history for different points. But first and foremost, the bracha, first bracha in benching, Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin for the mon. Now really, there's an obvious question on this Gemara. The language of the Gemara sounds like Moshe tikkun lahem Yisrael. It sounds like these brachos were a takana. The Rashba on this Gemara asks a question that, what do you mean? These brachos are daraisa. Right? The Pasuk says, v'chalto v'savato v'irachto. That's a beferisha mitzvah in the Torah. So, the Rashba answers, just to explain the Gemara, that of course these are derisives, but the language used was made by the Rabbanan. The language used was the Rabbanan din. So they are the ones who made the language. So Moshe made the language after the Mon. Yeshua made it after when he went into Eretz Yisrael. David and Shlomo made their own nuances of language in the third bracha, Bonei Yerushalayim. And the fourth bracha, Tov HaMeitiv, that we hold is the Rabbanan. The first three are daraisa. That actually are machlokasim. Is it three different dinim, one din? There are multiple shayos and benching, right, that come up depending how you define these brachas. Yes?
Didn't the month start before Matkar?
Oh. Good point. People debate this. Right. Mun seemingly did, but there are those that say that it's actually two different types of mun before and after. Yes?
The wording of the bracha, who knows, saying lechem l'chol basar.
Right. It sounds like the mun is like a bread. Right. Right. We really, what you see from this, right, we're talking about the bracha of benching. So benching, of course, is a bracha that's made on grain, on bread. So this Gemara is saying, we're going to spend time in this Gemara later in the Shir too, when we talk about the bracha achrona. But Gilyoni HaShas brings this Gemara, he's on this Gemara, and he says, look, how are we deriving benching, first bracha of benching, from the mun? You're going to bench in the mun? The mun is not one of the five grains. You go through Edva's understanding. You go through Beno Gerishim's understanding. Why are we benching on mun? Mun is not one of the five grains. The Ritva told us you wouldn't bring carbon matzah, carbon omer, she'alachem. So why are we benching on mun? Says the Gilyoni HaShas, an amazing idea. Remember we had the Gemara before, one of the introductions that we gave, is the Gemara in Yuma had a machlokas, whether mun had just the taste of any food you wanted, or also the texture. So Zakta Gilyoni HaShas, according to the Tzad, that it also had the texture of any food, so maybe that's sufficient. Maybe mun is like a grain. It really is a grain. If I think of it, I'm going to have something which tastes like and also has a texture of bread. So of course, why can I bench on it?
So it just texture or is it nutritious?
So
it was something that it not only becomes texture, it becomes the actual item.
Very good.
Amigos, whatever it is.
Very good, you're right. And there is, when we say it had, what does texture mean? Mamoshes, right? I think texture doesn't give it a full definition. Mamoshes, you know, a guy in yeshiva sometimes sees what they serve for lunch. And like, there's no mamoshes here. Mamoshes is, right. Texture is part of it, but it's much more. It means there's just something.
Substance,
significant.
Under a microscope, this is the same exact
items. Right, it has all the molecules of that. So that's grain. If you think it's grain, you want grain, you have it. The Gilyoni HaShas is ready to say, what's Pshat in the Gemara? How are they benching on mun? It must be, this Gemara is going with that opinion, that mun took on the full stature of whatever people thought of it. Why? I don't know how to darshan all the pesukim. But what the Gilyoni HaShas does say is this fully has the capacity, the substance of mun. Mun is bread. And if mun is bread, the one can bench on it. And that's what this Gemara in Brachos is saying. And seemingly, and the Gilyoni HaShas makes the other step, and he said, you would be yotze your din of matzah with mun. It's important to know, right? Also lovo, right? Well, hopefully we'll have back mun. So don't go running to the expensive matzah bakers. You could use your mun to be yotze.
The only problem with that is if in the middle of eating your matzah you polish have bread. Are you over the midst of having?
That's going to be our next issue of treif. We're going to talk about, can you have treif thoughts in your mind for mun? That's a treif thought. I think that's a pretty natural thought, especially if you bite into hard matzah.
Are you saying Ritva? Can you say Ritva and the Rabbeinu Gershom are going like mandam that says it doesn't have mashmasha, it just has the
so one of two things. Either they're in that mandamar, or maybe you have to say a lower level, even if you say it's the same texture, but that doesn't mean it's the same thing. And even the man the Amma who would say, like for example, we said that it doesn't look like it.
Just tell them how to touch your mashmashas.
Right, right. Just how far does my mashmashas go?
The Gilyoni was making a comparison between the requirement for beer for some ozone and matzah.
Right.
Now, where
I don't know. This in itself is a, I'm just wondering. The notion that you have to bench on Kamesh's meaning, where does that come from? That's not the Raisa, or, I mean, in other words,
no,
what are the, and so what is that, who says that that has the same equation to matzah?
So
the Torah clearly says matzah, we know, is the Kamesh's meaning, because it has to be something that can be called.
I believe they learned it out. Gemara in Brachos, I believe they learned it out.
Because potentially, if the reason we bench on matzah, on Kamesh's meaning, is because those are, so to speak, staples of life, Dabar Mazayin, and therefore Chazal decided that. And so, Mon would also be.
Right. The Ritva is the Pashtus. Of course, there's a din of benching is only on Chamesh Minim. It's only on the five aspects of grain. So, that's the starting point. So, the Chiddush of this Gilyon HaYashas is Mon was able to take on that capacity too. But that's the din.
As Moshe made a point, this was Misakim, the Baruch on the Mon, only when the guy had Mon as his bread.
Right.
When the guy had Mon for the same loss, he was eating potatoes.
So we'll talk about this. This comes up when we get to the bracha aspect too. So hold on. So far we have a machlokas. On one side, you have the Rishonim, the Ritva and the Rabbeinu Gerishim, that they would say you would not be yotze a din of matzah, not karban omer shtei alachem with man. It's not good enough. While the Gilyon HaYashas over here in brachas clearly would say you would be yotze with man. Right now, you have Machlokas Rishonim versus Achronim. Okay? I believe there is a third idea you could say, probably connected with this Gilyon HaYashas, but in some ways, one of the most amazing things I found here in the Sugya. Mefarshim are troubled with really a steer in the Pesukim. If you look in the Pesukim in Parshas Peshach, right? Mon comes up in two Parshios in the Torah. Right, Parshas Beshalach, and this week's Parshas Baloska. So in Beshalach, it reminds them of their two, right, Mishnah Torah. But in Pasuk Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, it's actually on the back of your sheets by the Moshe of Zakenim. The Pasuk says, "Vayomer Aleihem Hu Asher Dibar Hashem Shabboson Shabbos Kodesh Hashem Machar." Tomorrow, Moshe Rabbeinu's warning Klai Yisrael is going to be Shabbos. Eisa Sher Ta'afu, Afu, Vesha Vashu, Vashelu. He warns them, hey, buddy, you know, make sure whatever you cook, you cook. Whatever you, you know, bake. But do it all before Shabbos. Now, we just read the Pasuk in this week's Parsha on the front of your sheets. Right? Tachanu Berechayim, Dachu Meducha, Bishlu Bepara. All these actions, we said, aren't real actions. All these actions are thoughts, according to Rashi. People had in mind, I want something grilled, I want something fried, I want something healthy. Whatever it is, you had those thoughts in mind, Rashi tells us in this week's Parsha, and that's what it tasted like. You didn't actually have to cook the mun. You didn't have to do any of these processes to the mun. The mun was perfect. Whatever you thought, that's what it was. So Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Baloska is warning the Bnei Yisrael. First, he warned them, you know, you can't collect it on Shabbos. You have to collect it before Shabbos. But this another warning that Moshe Rabbeinu gives them, an Ashar in terms of Hilcha Shabbos, is you can't cook on Shabbos. Right? Pretty important halacha. Where are the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar cooking mun? We just said it was all in their minds. So what's this Ashara that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them, don't cook, don't bake? No one was cooking, no one was baking. Amazing question. Really, you analyze these two parashios in Chumash, in Beshalach versus Baal Oska. Were they cooking them on, were they baking them on or not? In Beshalach, it's mashma that they were. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was warning them, don't cook it, don't bake it on Shabbos. But over here in Baal Oska, Rashi's telling us that no, this is all in your mind. Yes? Excellent. The Gemara points that out. The Gemara says that in terms of the gathering, though, that different people have different levels of tzidkus, and the Rishonim put in extra efforts to gather their mun and do that. Tzaddikim did much less. But that was only in terms of the gathering aspect. In terms of the cooking or baking aspect, it sounds like it's a contradiction. Did they cook it or not? Yes.
Continuing with that.
Yeah.
One was pre-Matan Torah, the other was post-Matan Torah. Therefore, everyone reached the high level, and maybe they didn't have to prepare it anymore.
So that's quite fascinating. But Elia Barth Finkel tries to give some mahal like that to explain it.
Who said you had to cook it? Who said you had to cook it when they did it anyway?
They didn't have to, but they did it. They were bored, huh? They're just, you know, it's too boring having this food. I don't have to cook. I want to cook.
That's what they're used to.
Rabbi Shafran, you spend too much time in the kitchen.
That's what they're used to.
Yeah, maybe. Right? Somebody should tell them the secret. You don't have to cook it. So the Moshe Zakenim.
Don't you have the same problem from there?
Yeah.
The Pasuk says what it tasted like. So why don't you ask the same kasha and they have the same sukkah?
No, because that was their mind. And there was in their mind, right? Rashi reads the pasuk over here in this parsha. In their mind, they had in mind grilled, they had in mind baked, they had in mind fried. But over there, Moshe Rabbeinu was warning them, don't you cook on Shabbos.
The pasuk there says, Tom Unkit, the Torah tells us what it tasted like.
Yeah, so that's a good question. What does that mean? That's a different question.
I'm saying that's the same idea, it's just worse.
Perhaps.
It's the same pasuk.
So the Moshe Zakenim, which is the Bali Tosas and the Chumash, as well as the Chidah, give an amazing, amazing Chiddush. Hold on. You got to hear this Chiddush. You know what they said? The mon is all in your mind. Whatever you think, that's what it's going to be. Fried, baked, grilled. If you have that in mind, that's what mon's going to be. But you have to have that in mind before Shabbos. Because if you have in mind on Shabbos, I want something grilled, you're violating Shabbos. Absolutely mind-boggling. This process of making the mun was something so tangible in the Jewish people's minds. There is nashara. Look, you're going to get the mun. You're going to get your double portion Friday. You have to cook Friday afternoon. All that cooking meant was have in mind what type of food you want for Shabbos. You had to have that in mind on Friday. If you had that in mind on Shabbos, that'll be a violation. That'll be an azara of doing some... What malacha is that? I'm not sure this is one of the 39 malachas, but this is an azara that Moshe Rabbeinu was warning the Ochlei Mon. Gather it before Shabbos and prepare it, cook it before Shabbos. If you have that in mind on Shabbos, but I believe what you see from this is the Bali Tosfos and Chidah, pretty strong, reliable sources. So according to this idea, you see like a whole other way how mon really was whatever you wanted it to be in totality. The cooking process, I'm thinking about it, that's cooking. That's frying. That's baking. So I want to make this into matzah. I want to make this into something I'm being yotze. You could do it. Husen mon isn't really that great. It is. Not just because it's the mamashas of it. But this thought process, the power of thought, right? This is really gives new definition to the Dor Dea. The generation, we call them of knowledge, right? Lo nitna Torah el la'ochlei mon. This generation, which was basically sitting in kolel, sitting and learning all day, Hashem provided for them all their means. They just received the Torah. They have Moshe Rabbeinu to teach them Torah. This generation, their thought process, their mind, was so powerful. They think about man, they turn into any food. That thinking process is cooking. Unbelievable. Yes? Hold on. Hold on. That's my Musa sheet. I want to use that later. Hold on.
Perfect.
Thank you. I also tied it into there.
If the man could taste like anything, then what was the need for the slime?
Excellent point. We'll get to that in a moment.
That was the problem.
Excellent. So far we have here, I believe, three different opinions, three different angles on the man and this telepathic power it had to be any food you wanted. The Ridvan and Rabbeinu Gershom says the limitation that it cannot be matzah. You wouldn't be able to use this for matzah because it doesn't have the sort of properties of matzah. It's not chamesh minim. Gilyoli Hashah says, no, according to the Manda Amr that had mamoshes, that's enough. That is a property. That's Pshat and Gemara and Brachos, how they could bench from man, learn out benching from man. And thirdly, which is obviously the biggest chiddush, this Moshe Zakenim, this chidah, that the process in your mind that you had to think about man was really a process, was tangible. That would be a violation on Shabbos of cooking, of baking. You had to have thought about that. You got to be in the kitchen Friday afternoon to prepare your man. That's what you got
to
do.
So according to the Moshe Zakenim, you could use for matzah?
So I would think, yeah. And there is, your thinking has such power, it totally transforms it. For sure. So then you even have a rishon saying such a thing.
It sounds like it would be a permanent state.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
seemingly.
You
now I want to touch on people talking about tray food. Right? Let's go back to that shiloh. My second shiloh I want to talk about is, could you have in mind an evil thought, man should be pig, man should be treif? So I found the Rogachover in the third siman in his sefer, in Or HaChaim. That's one of the top things he was thinking about. The Rogachover says that 100% to be mutter. Right? If you thought of pig, that'll be mutter by man. You know why? Because man comes from min hashamayim. Hey, it can't be that something tamei comes from min hashamayim. If you had in mind the taste of pig, you're all good. Right? If you had in mind, bread on Pesach, I don't know. But he for sure says by tray food, you can have that in mind, it would work. And they bring another chidah that also says like this, that it also would work. However, the Chidushi Arim, one of the earliest Gera Rebbes, writes about this and says it's Aser. And in fact, he brings a proof that someone just mentioned before. One of the things in this week's parsha, the Bnei Yisrael complain, you know, we're missing out on this slav. In Mitzrayim we had this slav. I want some meat. So why the Bnei Yisrael complaining about this? If man is anything they wanted, so they could have had that too. Answer is, at that point in time, basar taiva was usher in the midbar. Bnei Yisrael not allowed to have just any meat. So if something was usher, the man didn't take on that property. So this would seemingly be a proof. The man was anything you wanted within the natural realm. It can't be something which is masik a woman. But it also can't be something which is usher. In fact, I think that point alone, you know, we discussed earlier this year, not yet reviewing the whole year's worth of shirim. I'll save that. But we had a shir earlier, we talked about the effects of tray food. And one of the things we said was there's a timtum alev, there's a real component that eating something treif would hurt a person. So that also would follow. You can't just say, oh, I'll have in mind something treif. It could be mazikyu. The same way the Rashi said that man wouldn't take on the property of a food which would be dangerous for a woman, so too, you can't have it something treif. So it's a machlokas, But I definitely hear the tzad that it will be usher.
What was the iser of meat? You said
there was a specific for the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. There was an iser on basar taiva. They couldn't have regular meat. And that's why they're complaining about the slav.
What do you mean regular meat? Only with the carbon. Only with carbon.
Right. There's if you brought a carbon, then you can have meat with it. You eat the meat of the carbon. But stam, I'm hungry for meat. That in the Midbar, the Bnei Yisrael will not matter. Post the Midbar, the Bnei Yisrael were allowed to have that. That's what we do all day. Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. But is the Kedusha Rim saying that one would not be permitted to have in mind Basar Isser?
Correct.
Or is he saying that it just didn't happen?
Both. In other words, you're not allowed to have that in mind, and it wouldn't work. And there is a limitation.
It didn't work.
Right. He's saying it would not work.
Most of the things that would be so negative.
Right. So in fact, I saw somebody quote that Gemara to go for give a reason why it should be mutter. Right. Maybe this is what the Torah was doing.
I had in mind to eat pig, but not the pig that I want to taste what pig tastes like, but I'm having in mind
right.
Kosher.
Yeah, there is
bacon.
There's some kind of a fish that they refer to that had the taste of a
swine. Wow. Yeah. That's really this Gemara. The Gemara predicted that there are out there in nature a parallel, similar taste, a very strange Gemara. You read some of the things the Gemara says there. Quite strange. But yeah, that would explain that tzad would be matar. Maybe this is another kosher way to get pig. But the Chiddush HaRim and seemingly others would disagree that no, it would not work for the month. What about, we asked originally, what bracha rishona would one make on the month? So here I found three different opinions. The joke I always heard as a kid was Hamotzi Lachem Min HaShemayim. It's Motzi Lachem Min HaAretz. This is Motzi Lachem Min HaShemayim. It's not a joke. The Sefer Hasidim writes that. The Sefer Hasidim says the bracha they will make on Mon is a Motzi Lachem Min HaShemayim. And that actually fits very well with that Gemara and brachas we talked about before, which said that we bench on Mon. Mon had this property, we call it lechem. Again, the other pesukim. I did find somebody else want to write, but no. Mon would take on whatever you thought you wanted to be. If I have in mind steak, then a shahakal. If I have in mind my vegetables, so my mon's hadama. Yeah?
Are you able to change your thought in the middle? And does that make the brother a problem?
Interesting, right? Right? Really, Ray Shepherd, you were bringing that up before. Once, you know, we live in a world today we're all very fickle. Right? I want to do this. No, forget it, I'm switching. Right? How many times do you buy something and you return it? You know, it's so easy nowadays. You just buy something with a click of a mouse. So then, okay, I have it, return it. So I'm not sure how it worked by Mon. If you thought it wanted to be one food, does it get locked in to be that food? Or really bringing up? Is because I switch it. It's all in my mind anyway. So right now it's this. Poof. Later I go, not so simple.
That's really important with Erev Shabbos preparing it. Because if you decided what it's going to be Erev Shabbos,
and you get extra guests.
No way to change it, so you didn't have the problem.
Right, right.
You couldn't change it.
Right. Maybe it gets locked in, this process. Right? Definitely from that motion of Zakenim we saw before, it seems like it really was that process of cooking. That's what it is. That's what people were suggesting. So it could be, you could switch what you want mon to be, but it's only one thought per piece, and therefore the brachas would follow that. And one last shot is there are some that said that no, on mon you would not make a bracha rishona. Because brachas are only made for food that we eat from the ground, from the land, from this world. But something which comes from out of this world, especially Rabbi Akiva's opinion we saw earlier in the Gemara, that this is the food that Malachim eat. It's a different type of food. Perhaps in that, one would not make any bracha. So once again, three different opinions. You should make...
What was Moshe being misakin on something that...
I mean the bracha achrona on that side. Right.
If you didn't make a... Right, so there you see if they can make a bracha achrona, but they don't make a bracha rishona.
Right. And as we do know, the halachas of bracha rishona and bracha achrona are two separate things. So you're pointing out, you know, according to that opinion, he knows the Gemara in brachos so that they did make a bracha achrona on it. So it's interesting, right? So three opinions. Either you make motzi lachem in a shemayim, it's not a joke, or it varies whatever you had in mind originally to eat. Or thirdly, there's an opinion, you don't make a bracha rishona on something which is from out of this world. All different things in this world. The last thing I want to touch on is an actual major halachic nafkamina on. We know there's a halacha in terms of bracha achrona, benching. How much time do I have to bench? So there's something called a shir ikum. That means, from the moment I started to eat until I finished, it usually takes a certain amount of time for my body to digest the food. So I'm allowed to bench within that framework of time. Now, the Mefarshim say there's a stam situation is 72 minutes. They debate what happens if I'm still satiated post that. And they say you could still bench within beyond 72 as long as your body is still satiated. But this happens a lot. You sit down, you're in the meal, you're stretched out Shabbos meal, and it could be, you know, you're schmoozing by the dessert, you know, post the dessert, till you bench. It could be a while. So there's a shear of a shear equal of basically 72 minutes to bench. The Chazon Ish has a very interesting question. He says, you know, once I see there's this idea of a shear equal, so he really challenges, what is the whole essence of what am I benching for? Am I benching for the food that I ate, the act of me eating? Is that what I'm benching for? Just happens to be they give me 72 minutes till for time to lapse for me still to do that. Or no, the fact that we're focused so much on your satiation, on the fact that you're satisfied with that food, it must be not making the bracha on the action of eating, but more on the result of you being satiated. That's the Chazon Ish's shaila. And one of the situations that he talks about, perhaps to be a nafkamina, let's say there are certain foods which we don't say there's any satiation, certain things which there's no satiation. We want bench or not. Right? What are you benching for? Now, I'm just thinking this out of the box right now when I'm talking about it. You know, people, unfortunately, who are in the hospital, right, many times you can't eat. You have IV. Now, obviously, I'm not standing here today saying you're benching on IVs. But the concept, conceptually, huh? Right. But conceptually, you know, giving thanks that you are satisfied, but there's no maisa achila, so what is it? Your stomach's still empty, but what does your IV do? So that's right. So the shell is what satiation? Satiation, your stomach being satiated or your body? Right. So we bench over there. So I'm just throwing these out as potential ideas. But the Chazon Ish is debating, what exactly are we benching on? Are we benching on the act of us eating or this feeling of satiation? He gives one, there's a Magen Avraham that talks about, do we make a bracha achrona on besamim? We make a bracha rishona before we smell besamim. Last night by Havdalah, did I make a bracha achrona after my besamim? I made it in my, right? That's one of the most halachas people forget sometimes. Right after you make Havdalah, really, if you drink the full kos, you have to make a bracha achrona on the wine, grape juice, whatever you have. But do you make a bracha achrona on besamim? The answer is no. You know the simple reason the Magen Avraham says? Because there's no satiation. You smell it, but you're not like satisfied with it. So Chazon Ish originally brings, if you see when it comes to a bracha achrona on besamim, There the Magen Avraham says one doesn't make one because there's no satiation. Seemingly that proves that all our brach achronas are based on being satisfied, being satiated. Later, you'd have a situation where there's no satiation. You wouldn't make the bracha. Yes?
Isn't it straightforward from the pasuk that you need both achila and sviya? Right?
Very good point. The pasuk does say both. But I guess what the Chazanish is really hitting upon is which is the ikar thing the Torah is saying. Is the ikar thing, the achila, and the savata just gives you a time frame for how much to do it? Or no, the ikar thing is the visavata. And the achila is how you got there. How do you understand really what the pasuk means? So the Chazon Ish says, let's go back to that Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, Moshe was misakin the whole lashon of benching because of the mon. We're making a berachas hamazon on mon. That's what the Gemara in Brachos is saying. By mon, we had an earlier Gemara. Right? There's no... equal means the food's going into my body and it takes some time till my body absorbs it and it gets the byproduct and this till I'm satiated. We said before that man is lechem achamabirin. Something goes straight directly into your body momentarily. It just gets absorbed into your body. There's no equal, there's no digestion, there's no satiation in the normal sense. Yet there's Birchas HaMazon here. Zakta Chazon Ish, I see clearly from the Mon that Birchas HaMazon is not based on satiation. It's based on the act of eating alone. Satiation is a shear the Torah gives for how long you have to bench. But really you're benching just on the act of eating. It's not tied with being satiated. Because by mon, it's not the normal type of a person being satiated. That's what the Chazon Ish concludes from this Gemara. What about besamim? So he ends up with a different idea over there. Really besamim, maybe one would make a bracha achrona if he did it right away. But he ends up, there's a Rashi, has a shita that, because it's a little chashiv, it's just a small thing, there we don't give a bracha achrona. But in summary, and I'd like to end with a story that was brought up before. In summary, you see that the man, besides being an amazing nais, B'nai Yisrael focused on for many years in the Midbar, there are halachic issues which Rishonim and Achronim debate about man, whether you could be Yotzi Mitzvahs with man, could you have treif thoughts on man, the brachas on man, things we learn out. But I must end with a beautiful story. You know, it was famous that Rav Schwab, as a bacher, spent time by the Chafetz Chaim. He spent this one Shabbos by the Chafetz Chaim, and Rav Schwab will talk about this for the rest of his life. The most famous story they talk about is he asked him if he's a Levi. Mila Shamei Lai, all that. So, I wonder what Parsha he was at. That comes up in Parsha's Kisisa. But seems the Chafetz Chaim in that Shabbos, he was only there one Shabbos, so it couldn't have been Kisisa and Baal Oscha. But he asked him a kasha from Rashi in this week's Parsha. This Rashi that says that man had the thought of anything he wanted, what would be if somebody didn't think? What would be then? So Rav Schwab recounts, the Chafetz Chaim didn't give him a chance to answer. Chafetz Chaim excitedly said, I'll tell you what the man tasted like. I'm sure the man tasted like nothing. It was bland, it was bitter. Because that's a tremendous idea in life. It's all about the thought you put into it when it comes to ruchnias. If you put thought into your davening, into your learning, you get something out of it. There's a good taste. If you don't think about it, it's just to be bland and just go by rote. Beautiful thought from the Chafetz Chaim and something we should all take into account when we eat our man or we don't. Thank you very much. Wonderful, wonderful.